Come on. Come on, boys. That's it. Watch the fiber. Soften it up. Sports.
This is Sports Sunday.
Jokic has it. Clock ticks. Gonna pull one up. Jokic for the win. It's good. Jokic got it off in time.
With Rashawn Taylor and Joe Fisher.
First and goal. Mahomes flings it.
It's there. Hardman. Jackpot. Kansas City.
On the Odyssey app.
Hate me or love me. You watched. That's all you could do.
And 1080.
Who do you think you are?
The Fan.
Welcome into Sports Sunday right here on 1080 The Fan, the Odyssey app, 99.5 HD2, YouTube, and Twitch for the kids. I am Joe Fisher III. Across the foam marble table is Rashawn Taylor.
Feeling good, feeling great. How are you?
Yeah, just slurping that water this morning.
Hey, man, listen, I'm trying to stay hydrated.
And
Don't shame me about the way that I drink water.
Or anything else. I mean, you were just going to town on that
water. I was thirsty. What, man? Like, sometimes when you're thirsty, you know, you can't help the guzzles. You can't help it, you know? It's just one of them things, man. I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed at all. Yeah.
You're a mess over there.
Hey, man. Like, hey, I'm trying to stay hydrated and healthy, so.
Behind the glass, the one and only Will Ortner. Wearing some type of pro fishing gear
sweatshirt.
It looks like one of those sweatshirt? Kind of things, you know?
Like the ones that
the dudes wear on the boats.
Like the ruck. I've never understood that. Why do they do that?
I think it's got like UV protection and...
Wasn't the whole point of being, you know, out and fishing to get some sun?
Oh, yeah, like a tank top.
You would think, right? I got sunburned this weekend. A bro tank.
I got a little...
I don't know. I got a lot... Most of my friends that go fishing that are... Like real, like fishermen, like they're nice. They're typically out there when it's raining, when it's cold, hella early in the morning. So yeah. It kind of makes sense that they would be wearing something that's going to keep them warm-ish, you know, while they can be out there in the water.
I think what he looks like he's wearing is one of those really like not Under Armour, but loose, like fitting sweatshirt that weighs like half an ounce. But it's got that UV protection.
Yeah.
Will's trying to protect his skin.
Knowing Will, it's a sauna suit under there. So, yeah, he's going to go for a run afterwards and sweat a bunch.
I'm going to the gym afterwards.
Yeah,
guaranteed. This is my gym shirt.
I'm not going to the house. I got everything on now. I'm going right from here to the gym. That's that outfit.
That is 100% the plan.
I got my workout in yesterday. I walked 18 holes. And not only did I walk 18 holes, I carried my bag.
You know, I used to think that just walking 18 holes was
I'm strong, dude.
Looking at guys like John Daly, who there's a picture of here in the studio, like nothing about the guy that says, man, yeah, you're getting in all your steps today. You're definitely working out, walking 18. If you've never walked 18 holes, that's an S ton, bro.
Well, let me see.
It's a lot depending on where you are.
Let me pull up the step counter, huh? Hot step counter talk on the fan this morning. And what is it? I mean, yesterday morning I didn't do anything. Like I didn't take a walk or go to the park or anything like that or play soccer with my son. You know, it was just chill Saturday morning.
Okay.
And then last night we did go out to eat in downtown. So we did a little bit of walking.
Okay.
But it wasn't like too far. We put our names in somewhere. Walked down to get a drink, came back, but it wasn't like a huge long walk. Yesterday, 15,368 steps.
Damn.
Which I know to some people, that's honestly kind of weak. I know there's some people that put that in just about every day at their
line
of work.
That's a nice amount of steps, man.
Oh, the dogs are barking today, that's for sure. They are howling. I was dead beat yesterday. And again, I carried my bag yesterday. I sold my push cart, the golf push cart,
right,
to incentivize myself and to get a new one because my old one was kind of ratty and breaking down and stuff. And so, yesterday I got all swole and carried. I got like Will out there carrying my clubs around.
I take a cart, man. I'm not carrying. My carrying days are done. That's high school golf.
Yeah, man. I think once you get to a certain age, you've matured to the fact to where you don't really. I'm not doing certain stuff anymore. Like, I'm almost the point to where I'm going to get a caddy when I go. Just somebody to help me out. Number one, a golf pro or something that's going to carry this around for me, because I don't want to carry all this stuff anymore. I think I'm to that point to where, and mind you, I've not played anywhere as much golf as you have, Joe. However, after being out there a few times, like, this is a long walk. And these are heavy. This is a heavy set of clubs.
Well, and there are only so many courses that I would walk in the Portland metro area, like Glendevere has a few holes. Glendevere West on the back, nine, and then Glendevere
East.
Shout out
to the Southeast.
My God, there are some calf burners there, dude.
Oh, man.
And shout out to the Berg, Newberg, Chehalem Glen. That is a course you do not walk. Like, that is, you're asking for trouble if you walk that course. Wildwood's another one, but I don't know. It wasn't too bad yesterday. I mean, I was dead tired last night, but, you know, I think that was more so from the booze and the being sun-kissed yesterday.
Yeah.
The sun beating down on me. What a beautiful day yesterday was.
It was nice. I got my workout in early in the morning, so that's typically how I try to do it. I don't know about you, Will, but I'm an early morning workout guy.
Same.
I can't do it in the afternoon. I can't do it in the evening. Like, I don't have the energy to do that at that point.
Will's got multiple shifts. He's there in the morning. He goes in the afternoon.
That happens.
Yeah.
That happens probably a couple times a week.
He's mixing it up
in the sauna with the blue hairs.
I might work out twice in a day, like at home. But that's typically where I do most of mine working out right now. Or that's definitely where I do all of my working out, is at the house for now. But sometimes if I get bored, yeah, I'll do a quick workout. Maybe something that'll take 20 minutes or something like that and just kind of be done with it. But, yeah. So I'm not as much as you. I can't do it. But the goal is to look just like you.
Get some Jay Jackson.
Oh, a few, yeah. You know, go out and get the heart rate pumping. You know, of course.
We were saying yesterday playing golf that, like, after a bad shot, like, punish ourselves, like, drop and give us 10 push-ups. And then we thought, like, imagine a high school golf coach that was, like, that disciplined for his players, where it's, like, bad chip shot or bad drive, slice out of bounds. Like, you disgust me.
It'd be the best team ever.
Up, downs, go.
Yeah. They'd be ranked number one.
Hurt. You got
a whistle. Bear crawls up and down the ninth hole. Go.
Hey, yeah, that would be, I don't know. I feel like maybe it's an approach in golf that we need.
You know,
the
drill sergeant approach works in every single genre of sports. At least it has so far. You know, Bill Belichick, look how successful he was as, like, that drill sergeant approach. You look at somebody like Nick Saban. You look at the only person that's like, ah, man, cool, just do whatever you want and make sure it works. It's kind of like Phil Jackson. But even still, the triangle was so, you know, you had to run his system no matter.
Sure, Dennis Rodman,
where he
go
went
to Vegas,
yeah,
for 2
yeah,
days.
Yeah, man,
and
okay,
do
bro.
You want.
Just kind of do your thing, but not a Greg Popovich. Like, I wish you would go to Vegas for 2 days during the playoffs. Are you serious? No.
Well, I'm watching the drive, chip and putt national championship right now. That's where it's the boys and girls, they're at Augusta National and they are driving, chipping and, believe it or not, putting. It's a little like contest. I don't know what the, you know, rules are and everything, but they do this every year at Augusta. And, you know, I would think some of these rat fart kids had some pretty disciplined parents and coaches yelling at them and telling them to be
better.
Probably
also had a maid.
Telling them you're not going to eat tonight unless you go to the range and hit 300 balls.
No foie gras for you tonight if you don't go ahead and make 4 holes in one today. Like, that's probably the discipline.
Sleeping outside, go sleep in the kennel with the dog, things like that. I would think that's happening to some of these kids. But hey, look at them now at Augusta National.
I suppose, man.
Good for them. It is Masters Week, by the way. Almost it's Masters Week. Technically, they're still golfing at the Valero Texas Open, but boy, that guy is beet red.
Yeah.
He is almost as red as his shirt.
Man, yeah.
Oh, my God. Go see a doctor, buddy.
Man, I don't know why y'all want to try to get dark or stuff. I don't know why y'all want to tan and everything. That tan hasn't done me a whole lot of great things, like driving around and stuff like that sometimes. So
I feel like I've talked about this. Do you and your fellow black men need to put on sunscreen?
We do burn.
Is that a thing?
We do still burn. Not the way
you guys put on tanning lotion?
Like, the sun is a danger. Like, it's crazy to y'all. The sun?
Oh,
like,
I've heard.
That's insane. But yes, we do burn, not as often. So yes, we do
tanning spray, tanning lotion.
No need for tanning anything. no need for tanning either. My buddy, my buddy Chris is lighter skinned, so he always turns colors during the during the winter months. So he's always like, oh man, can't wait to go to he travels a bunch. Can't wait to go to Hawaii. Yeah, seriously, he enjoys that part. That's not something I ever have to worry about. Is like, man, I got to go somewhere and get a. Work on this tan.
What would you do if someone with like your complexion, not like Chris's, and pulled out a bottle of Banana Boat tanning spray and just be like, hey, I'm just trying to
try to bronze up. I mean, I there are certain times like I do understand, like, because again, they kind of tend to turn a little lighter during the winter months or during the colder months of the year. So I understand, but. Not really at the same time, because it's not something I have to do. So, it's pretty cool. But yes, if I go to Mexico, if I go to Hawaii, if I go somewhere where it's super, super hot, then yes, I better have some type of sunscreen or something like that. Otherwise, it's going to be terrible.
Honestly, I feel like, and I don't know if it's a getting older thing, if your skin is just not as strong as it used to be, but I used to never get burned. Like, it was just I didn't have to worry about it ever. And then I went to Maui 6 years ago, and boy, I learned a hard, valuable lesson while I was there.
Can I ask you guys a question? I got two, my guys.
No.
White fellas, I gotta know. Do you guys wear lotion?
What do you mean?
Like moisturize? Just like...
No, like lotion, arms, hands,
yeah,
legs.
Yeah, like, again, just like get out of the shower, put some lotion on.
Yeah.
I don't. I should. The self-discipline on my moisturizing game. And my mom, she said when I was younger, it rings in my head, moisturize, moisturize, moisturize. She was a big proponent to using lotion.
Okay. Ladies typically,
yes.
Typically are.
They got all sorts of creams in their purse. They're all ready to type go. Of things. Yeah, they got them on deck.
No.
Not a Lubriderm guy.
I have like a face lotion thing that whenever I break out, I put it on. But as soon as the breakout's gone, that lotion's gone.
So I asked this because a coworker of mine, as I'm putting on lotion on my hands at work, he's like, "What are you doing? What's that?" And I was like, "It's lotion." And he was like, "What do you need it for?" And I was like, "So for us, I don't know if you know this, but we get ashy."
Yeah, Ashy Larry.
Right?
Marcy Project, son.
That happens when you don't put on lotion. Like, you guys won't know if your hands are dry, if your skin is dry and everything like that for the most part, unless it really gets weird and starts flaking up. But otherwise, most people won't know. You have like a psoriasis or something like
that. The O'Keefe's working hands hand cream?
No, man. I use regular, man. Well, now I use this Bath and Body Works, it's a whiskey barrel. A lotion? Oh my! I get compliments all the time from like everybody that passes. You smell so good.
Rashad's just kind of waving his hands around when talking to people. Seriously, just like kind of wafting. Seriously. So when I talked to him the other day,
I gotta do a lot of this. Like, so I host trivia on Wednesday nights.
The hell's the matter with
you? And I'm going around to tables and stuff like that. Hey, would you guys like to play? It's trivia night and everything. And once a night, I'll get that. You smell so good. I'm like, thank you so much. I appreciate that. I appreciate that. So, fellas, especially my white brothers, man, go ahead and get you some lotion. Some Lubriderm, some Jergens, something to keep your skin nice and soft. Absolutely.
CeraVe.
Yeah, something that smells good, too. Something that, they make some suave men stuff and everything. Like, yeah, get something that smells good.
Yeah. I bought a bottle of something, like, months ago, and it's just, I think I was really going at it for about a week, and that bottle now just sits there.
Yeah, man, use it. Baby oil, something like I promise you, your ladies will appreciate the fact that you use it, for real. Hands, feet, everywhere, man. Get yourself all lubed up. Why not?
Text line says riveting. Hey, we're here to be basically a PSA.
This is what we do,
people. All right, we need to express the importance of moisturizing said skin and staying out of the sun.
Trust me, you'll thank me later, man.
I did get a nice little burn yesterday, though. Just enough little base layer on the arms. It was nice, quite nice.
Something I'll never ever have to say.
That's a shame. Again, the as you mentioned, the white guys with just like that look like a strawberry. Some of them like that. They like to have that burnt to a crisp feeling.
Yeah,
not me.
Yeah,
not me. I'm
telling you,
sports stuff today.
Bunch of it. I heard.
Yes. We will get to what happened yesterday in the NCAA basketball tournament. Is there a worse feeling? Also. A record-breaking moment could happen today. In fact, it will start here in about 30 minutes. As I mentioned, it's Masters Week. Getting into a little bit there. Also, the Blazers play today, and it is a very, very important day for the Blazers. Very important. We will get to all that. But first, let's start with the NCAA tournament action. We have a championship game set, and is there a worse feeling? It is Sports Sunday right here on 1080 The Fan. Well, I was wrong, Rashad.
It happens, bro.
It was the reverse psychology, though. I did it on purpose.
Okay, I get it.
And it was saying last week that Duke was going to win the national championship.
Mm-hmm.
I said it. I put it out there. I said that there was no need to watch any more college basketball because that's what was going to happen. And sure enough, Duke loses to Houston 70-67 in their game. Florida also beat Auburn. Both games comebacks in both of them. Now, the Florida-Auburn one wasn't as crazy. Florida was down 9 with
a minute like 36.
No. That was
Florida game. I'm sorry. Yes.
Yeah. Florida. It was down 9 with like 17 minutes left. Mm-hmm. So I mean, plenty of time to come back there. But the Duke Houston game. I mean, yeah. What was that?
They outscored them 11-1 in the final 30 seconds.
Yes. I mean, they were down 9 with 3 minutes left to go and started just kind of chipping away there. Is there a worse feeling than blowing a lead, blowing a double-digit lead with minutes left in a important game, not just like a regular season game, a playoff game, watching your team just choke it away and just knowing that there's nothing you can do about it? Not like you personally, but like the team. It's just like, we're going to lose this effing game, aren't we?
I think if you're from Portland, you know exactly what that feels
okay,
like.
Okay, we didn't have to
you
do
know,
that.
I'm just saying, like, it. Yeah, so we know that it sucks, you know. But I think at that point, you know, whenever there's like a minute on the clock, minute and a half on the clock, somewhere around there, a part of you in your head as a competitor, let's say football, basketball, if you're up 10 points in football, you know, you're up 8-9 points in basketball, there's a part of you that's thinking this game is over. We've got this.
We're good.
Like, all we've got to do is not make stupid mistakes, and we got this. And then you make stupid mistakes, and things happen, and then we have these comebacks. And that's what we saw yesterday, and really, I'm not going to say in both games, but just in that Duke game, like, I think there was a part of Duke that felt like, game's over. We're going to the national championship. Like, all we have to do, make this free throw, you know, and we should be good. And then just things just fall apart for me.
I mean, Cooper Flagg, yeah, he nails a three with about 3 minutes left in the game. 64-55, Duke's leading with 3:03 left. At that point, I think anybody watching is like, all right,
clapping,
this is over.
Yeah, yeah, here come go Blue Devils, go Dukies. Like, they're going to do it again. Cooper Flagg is as good as advertised. Like, all that stuff is happening. And then just, I don't want to call it a monumental meltdown, but it was one of the, in recent memory, this is probably one of the worst ones that we've seen in a while.
And it's funny, we just had one last week with Texas Tech melting down against Florida in the last couple minutes there. But this just seems like this isn't something that happens to Duke. Like, this is not a team like that. Is like, you would think that, again, 9 minutes or 3 minutes left, 9-point lead, that a team as good as Duke, they're just going to do what they need to do to seal the victory and get to the finish line. And then sure enough, it's just they blow it. Yeah. I mean, it was really amazing to see. And again, I just feel like that's something that is not in the basketball gods, like, Bible, where Duke, thou shall not lose with a 9-point lead, 3 minutes left, and sure enough, they did. Like, that was the more amazing part to me. I mean, credit to Houston to just fighting to the end there, making your free throws. What a concept. And Cooper Flagg shot coming up just short there at the end. But, Houston moves on. Duke falls 70-67. But, yeah, watching this and then last week with Texas Tech losing in the way they did, I don't know if there's a worse feeling in sports than when your team, you feel like they have it 2-3 minutes left in the game and then just ultimate collapse in a meaningful playoff-like environment.
Well, I also think, too, in this situation, like, remember going into it, everyone was like, Duke's going to win. But if Houston does win, here's the blueprint to how they win. And aside from them starting off really poorly shooting from the field, I mean, how many shots in the first 5 minutes did you look at where it's like, that's a wide open look for Houston? And they clanked it. Like, this is a better shooting team than most of Kelvin Sampson's Houston teams in the past, where, like, Duke didn't play a lot of close games. And a lot of the close games that they did play, they didn't go their way. Now, they went the other way early in the year. Like, they lost to Kansas, right? They had a close game against Clemson. But again, that close loss to Clemson in the ACC, that's still in January, right? Beginning of February. So it's still early in the year. As good as this Duke team was, they weren't really tested all that much. And when they were tested, it was a long time ago. And they haven't been tested by a team like this Houston team, which is full of, I mean, frankly, grown adult men. Like, this is a team full of four-year seniors, fifth-year seniors. They might even have a sixth-year or two on that team. So you have a Houston team that's done this before. Remember, they played Kansas in Allen Fieldhouse. They were down by six with 18 seconds left in OT. And they That's won right. that basketball
yeah,
game.
Yeah, earlier this year, yeah.
So you kind of had a perfect confluence of events of a team from Duke that's really good, that gets up really big, and just kind of goes, oh, well, this is where the other team quits and gives up. A Houston team that has been down big with very little time left in a very adverse situation, and they're like, we're not going to quit, we're going to keep going. And I think that's kind of where you see, like, the youth of Duke finally show up. Like, as good as Cooper Flagg played, as good as Con Knipple played, there were, you know, one or two key mistakes late where it's like, that's a freshman mistake, and they're making that because they haven't been in this situation, or they've only been in the situation once.
And that's what people are going to remember. Like, as great as Cooper Flagg was, it was like, last shot. He had an opportunity to make it, but he didn't do that. Or that last free throw towards the end of the game, like, that's when people are going to start nitpicking. Especially, and let's be honest, Duke isn't a lovable school. Most people hate Duke. Either you love the Blue Devils or you despise them. It's one of the two. There's no, like, in between, like, they're all right. I kind of like Duke. Like, no, it's either you love it or you hate it. So I think there are a lot of people that are going to point to last night's mistakes and go, yep, I knew it. They didn't have it in them. It's like, man, Duke has been arguably the best team in college basketball all year. Like, we can, you know, I do think that maybe, or not even maybe, now Houston can lay claim to they've been the best team in college basketball all year, but Duke is, you know, they've got the marquee player that everybody wants to see and everybody wants to draft. So I think for that reason, they've gotten more eyes than would have been on them in the first place.
But if you look analytically, this is the best college basketball team ever, Duke. It's the best college basketball team ever. You have the number one player in the country. If you're looking at the KenPom stuff, they're top 10 in both offensive and defensive efficiency. Like, they're unbelievable. And they were. But I think some of it, too, is, like, there were 4-1 seeds. These were the four best teams most years. If you look at it, I believe Auburn is the worst of the 1 seeds, according to, like, the KenPom stuff. They are still a top 10 team all time, according to KenPom's rankings. Like, that's how good this Final Four is. And again, like, I don't know in this situation of that game where you're down by 14 in the second half, if there's another team other than Houston that could make this comeback just because of how this Houston team is created. Like, does Auburn have the skill? Did Florida have the skill? Probably, yes. But there has to be a perfect confluence of events for this to happen. And I think it just worked out perfectly for them. And some of it, too, is as good as Duke was, do they get bolstered a little bit because the ACC was that weak? And now I think people will come back and kind of Monday morning quarterback it and be like, well, as good as they were, they didn't play anyone in the
ACC.
Now
they start pointing out all the blemishes Duke had all of a sudden.
Right. And, like, Cooper Flagg was awesome, and it was a good shot. He just didn't make it. If Proctor passes the ball instead of trying to play hero ball to Cooper Flagg, who is wide open, Houston has to foul Cooper Flagg, sending Flagg to the line, who's an 85% free throw shooter, 86% free throw shooter, instead of Proctor, who's 65. Proctor misses the one-on-one. There's the foul, which was a bad call, but still, there's the foul. Houston gets the ball. They make their two free throws. If Proctor passes it to Flagg, does Flagg go to the line, make both of those? I'd probably bet on the percentages and say yes. Well, now Houston has to hit a three, you know? So, yes, Flagg missed the shot. Yes, you know, there was a mistake here. Or yes, there's a bad call there. But there were multiple missteps from Duke all the way down. I mean, in the last 10 minutes, they had one field goal. One field goal.
Yeah, shots stop happen. Stop falling. The Houston team, though, they are some dogs, man. That is a gritty as hell team. I don't know. I haven't looked at the line yet, but I would imagine that they're favored.
They are the underdogs. Florida's -1.5.
Give me Houston, baby. Drop a 4 in my styrofoam. I'm rolling with Houston.
Yeah, whenever you take down one of the best teams in college basketball as far as the numbers say, like, I'm going to put my money on you. So I think Houston has a great chance of walking away with the national championship.
That is Monday at 5:50 on CBS, Houston versus Florida. We have a record-breaking moment that could possibly go down, and it will happen here within maybe the next couple hours, but it is about to start here in just a minute or two. Get to that next. But first, Will Ortner, SportsCenter update. Okay. So, Sports Sunday, 10:05, that's the show. That's what you're listening to right now. What is on the TV, though, is the Washington Capitals taking on the New York Islanders. We're going to do that hockey. Why, Rashad? Because Alex Ovechkin today has the chance to be the all-time goal leader in NHL history. He is tied with Wayne Gretzky as of Friday. He got 2 goals, I want to say, to tie the record. Almost in the same amount of games as well, which is wild. And he is now just 1 goal away from getting the record for most goals in an NHL career. I mean, that's a... Now, going through, like, records and things in all sports, the points record, that's something that will never get broken in NHL history. Like, looking that up... That no one's going to touch that. But I didn't even know. I don't know when this started to come into question for Ovechkin. Like, was it a year, 2 years ago? Oh, those old school Capitals jerseys are disgusting, by the way.
Yeah, those don't, are sick. Don't like those.
What, with the eagle and the star? Dude, that is nasty. I think it's just nostalgia, but those are sick. I don't know when this started to become a possibility for Ovechkin, whether it was a couple of years ago, people started kind of doing the math and they're like, well, if he, you know, if it averages out, then he could break it in 2025. But here we are, man. He is 1 goal away. And I don't know if this game, it looks like it's in New York. So it sucks that it's not going to happen in Washington if he does do this today. But what an unbelievable career. And what an unbelievable feat for Alex Ovechkin once he does get this final goal to set the all-time record. Pretty damn impressive.
That's awesome. Like, I mean, I'm not gonna lie to you guys. Like, I don't watch a lot of hockey. You know, when the Stanley Cup Final comes around, then I'll definitely start. Right around playoff time is kind of almost like the NBA. Kind of when I start
time
paying
to do
attention,
that hockey.
Right, almost when I start paying attention is right around that time. Alex Ovechkin is one of them ones. Like, when you talk about the sport of hockey, like, there might be five to ten names that you come up with. They're like, yep, he's going to go down as one of those faces, you know, and he's going to be on somebody's Mount Rushmore for whatever reason in hockey. So to get that close to Wayne Gretzky's record, which, again, is one of those records that I think a lot of people never thought would be broken, almost like Kareem's record. You know, to break Kareem's record, you had to play 20 years as a starter and average at least, you know, 16 points throughout those years. Like, most people aren't going to be able to do that. And so, like, I'm looking at this record that Ovechkin's going to, you know, going to pass, and I'm looking at LeBron's record, and I'm like, I don't think it'll be another 30, 40 years before we see somebody do that again.
Yeah, I'm looking at a list of unbreakable records in sports history. And some of these, yeah, I'm very much like, yeah, I don't think all 10 of these on this list. I mean, Ricky Henderson's stolen base record, Cal Ripken consecutive games played. Number one on the list is all the Wilt Chamberlain stuff. And obviously the biggest one, the most infamous record in sports history, I would say, is the most points in a single NBA game, the 100 points they scored. And then Rashad said something in the commercial break, which I don't know if I've heard anybody say before. And he said that he thinks that the 100-point game didn't even happen.
I don't know. Yeah, that's a big theory on the internet.
I don't know, man.
Yeah.
What are we talking about?
I don't know, man.
Because there's no video footage.
No, there's very few articles about it. There are very few like
there's a whole box score.
Okay. That's cool.
There's a whole box score with other players.
I'm looking at a box score, you know, right now. I don't know.
York Larice dropped 9 points. Guy Rogers had 11. And then Will Chamberlain went 36 of 63 from the field with 400 points. What's not believable about that? Okay, when did this start? When did we start? I don't know.
It just feels
a 4chan thing. When did we start questioning?
I started seeing it on X, like within the last like month or so, where like they'll post like a picture or a video of like old school basketball and be like, "We have video of this, but we don't have Wilt getting 100. Sure.
Yeah, with a very vague tweet about the game. Some people don't really want to talk about what happened.
Well, I mean, because is there not video of the Celtics winning championships in the 50s and 60s and stuff like that? Like, we've seen all that. Am I wrong? Havlicek stole the ball. What year was that? It couldn't have been 60 something. It had to be like 1960 something.
Maybe they didn't know this was going to be the night that he dropped 100 points, and they just didn't have the cameras ready to go.
Looking at the score, like...
Just like we won't remember any of the wins that the Blazers had this season in 50, 60 years because they were meaningless, maybe this was a meaningless game on March 2nd, 1962.
Blazers got a couple good games this year that I'll remember. Won't remember for long.
I will ask you this next year. 1 year from now, I will ask you, hey, remember what happened on this day with the Blazers? And you're going to be like, nope. You will not recall.
Of course I will. This is an unforgettable season for the Blazers.
Why do we not think that this was a thing that happened? I mean, there was a score, 169-147, multiple players, people were there. I mean, just because there's no video evidence.
I don't want to see
video evidence. I just want to see more.
People think that the moon landing was fake. Like,
well, I get that.
People think that things are fake all the time. Like, it makes sense.
So the moon landing being fake is plausible, but him getting 100 points is like, that definitely happened, right?
I get why people think the moon landing was false in the time. I mean, you're in the... When did that happen? What year was that? In the 60s?
69, I believe.
67, 69, something like that. I've got to go back to school for that one. I can imagine someone in the 60s being like, "We landed on the moon? Impossible." Yeah. But, I mean, a 100-point game? You want to believe in that. Come on.
Yeah, I mean... Suppose.
Can't believe you're doing
July
this.
July 20th of 1969, we land on the moon. The last time we landed on the moon was 1972.
Because we realized there was no point in going back to the moon. What was
probably
do?
No, the Transformers
kicked us off.
Boring
as hell
up
there.
Oh, yes, that's right.
They're on the dark side.
The Transformers are there. I forgot about that part. I think that we will have someone break the 100 points in the game.
You think so?
Yes. Someone's going to do it.
I don't know. Like... Wilt was just so much more physically imposing, you know, than everybody else at that point.
I mean,
it was like Giannis playing back then. Just like he was bigger, faster. Remember, Wilt was like a world-class track star.
Listen, NBA players don't care as is. So you give one team one night with just one of the best players that we've ever seen, whether it happens in 10, 15, 20, 25 years, whoever, that 100-point score might not even be born right now. But there's going to be someone that's going to be so good, and it's going to be a game in late November where they're playing some garbage-ass team, and this dude is going to be in the locker room and just be like, "Let me cook."
Yeah. I mean, the closest we've ever seen
And they're going to be like, "Sure, we're not playing for anything
Is that
anyways.
Kobe game. You know, that Kobe game against Toronto was a trash team, you know, at that point, but... You know, that was
I think
awesome
that was like
see.
In January or February
yeah,
or something
was,
like that.
Yeah, it wasn't like a marquee game by any means.
Well, he just went nuclear. Like with the amount of three balls that people shoot nowadays, like think about all of Dame's big 50-point games.
71-point game.
70-point game. What do they all have in common? He went nuclear from three. Steph Curry, kind of same deal. You almost need...
How many did Luka score in that game? Was that 70?
I believe Luka had a 70. Well,
yeah, he did. I just can't remember the
And
the
Booker
points.
Had one, too. So you need... I think you know who it would be. It would probably be a guy like Luka.
73.
Who can go nuclear from three, but who can also get to the rack
and because get to the line. I think that's the important part. Right. You got to shoot 20, 30 free throws if you want to get that
right
point.
Because if you're just going straight to the rack, well, cool, dude. You're getting a bunch of twos. You're not going to make 50 shots, right? You have to get to the free throw line. And if you're shooting three-pointers the whole time, like, you're eventually going to go cold. Like, law of big numbers, you go back to your averages. So you got to have a game where you go, you know, something stupid where you have 30 points from just three-pointers or something like that, and then you're going to have to get to the foul line and shoot 25 foul shots.
Of all these records, I think the ones that could be broken, I don't know, 100 points in the game is a lot. I think now you have a lot of guys in the NBA with, you know, hopefully, well, let me take that back. I was going to say some pride, but judging from these All-Star game stuff,
that's what I'm saying, dude.
Go ahead and say that. Like, you're not
gonna
a lot of dudes.
You're going to get a team that doesn't give an F on defense. You're going to have a team that doesn't give an F as far as anybody else scoring.
So that's plausible. I think LeBron's 50,000 is never being touched. Like, I think, I mean, you got
to
play.
I think he might get to 55.
Yeah, because that means you got to play regular season, playoffs, average over 20 for 20 some odd years to be able to. That's not going to happen.
And you got
to
be a freak of nature even at the age of 40, 41.
Happen. Brady's record, potentially, as far as the Super Bowl rings, is because Mahomes is only, what, 30? How old is Mahomes?
29, 30.
Yeah, like so he could still win another three or four in the next 5, 6 years or something like that. So. Plausible, you know. So I think there's a couple that could be broken, but yeah, I think the one that might not be is that LeBron 50,000 overall.
The all-time record that'll never be broken and it'll never get the love that it deserves is Gretzky's point record.
Oh, dude, for sure. It is. I was talking to him in the commercial break.
You'll never ever touch it because. Yeah. So for those who don't know, hockey points, that's your goals and your assists. Ovi's gonna break his goals record, which is very impressive. Here's the thing. 4 points. If you took away every single goal that Gretzky scored and just counted his assists, he would still have the points record.
He is the only hockey player with more than 2,000 points, and he has 2,857.
It's unbelievable. He had multiple seasons where he scored 50 goals. In less than 40 games.
Another one on this list I want to bring up.
Was a difference. Only reason I watched hockey as a kid.
Unbelievable.
I mean, they're
him and Adam Banks from the Mighty Ducks are the two reasons I watched hockey.
There are some on this list as well where I think are untouchable. Emmitt Smith, career rushing yards, the way that the running back position is gone, that's not going to happen. Jerry Rice, 22,895 receiving yards.
Not going to happen. Not going to happen. Have to have longevity with the same quarterback or at least multiple great quarterbacks for that to happen.
Nolan Ryan, 5,714 career strikeouts. Again, the way that starting pitchers are used nowadays, the way their arms are just absolute crab meat after however many years.
Tommy John after 3 weeks now.
Cy Young's win record, too.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. Michael Phelps, all of his medals that he won. As mentioned, the Cal Ripken streak. Ricky Henderson, career stolen bases. That dude, when you look at the amount of bases he was snagging, like on a year by year basis, that one to me as a baseball fan is like ridiculous. That dude,
Ricky Henderson, was dope. Anybody that refers to himself in the third person is my guy. You know,
Ricky, or you're a complete douche.
Ricky Henderson is the one dude besides The Rock.
You're either really cool or a real douche. And there's Ricky in between there.
Ricky Henderson was cool as hell, man. So like I said, The Rock and Ricky Henderson, the only people that refer to themselves in the third person.
I mean, he had 300 stolen base seasons. We're still waiting for one person to do that once again, and he did it three times.
Only Willie Mays Hayes from Major League has stole that many bases. Other than that, like, yeah.
Someone on the text line brought up Cal Ripken's games played record. We brought that up at the beginning of this segment. And then someone was saying the other day, oh, no, it was one of my friends yesterday was perpetuating the lie and conspiracy that they tried to keep the streak alive by having light issues and stadium issues at one of the games that Cal Ripken was, like, showing up late to. And so they were like, make some lights. Say the lights aren't working. Or
yeah,
something
we're not.
Like that.
We're
we
not
need to delay
this
a little bit.
Yeah, we're not screwing up this record. Kyle's going to be here.
I want to get to two things that are happening this week. Actually, one of them that is going down today, and then one of them going down this week in the sports world. We'll get to that next year. Sports Sunday, 10 a.m. The Fan. All right, two things. What?
said, how much do you love your kid? You know,
yeah. I was talking with Rashad about the show Black Mirror in the commercial. Oh, Will, have you dabbled into Black Mirror before?
Not a whole lot. I know the gist.
Well, if you've never seen Black Mirror, the first episode, listen, if you can't get past the first episode, then maybe the show just isn't your cup of tea. Rashad just, I think I just blew his mind with that one, with the plot of the first episode.
Yeah, yeah. Gotta be honest. I thought it was a prank show or something.
It's a great show. Trust me, Rashad, okay? Okay. Listen.
Take your word for
it. Well, and they're all one-offs, aren't they?
Yeah, it's all a different story each episode. But the first episode of this show is very much like, wait, what?
Oh, the one that always freaks me out is the simulation one, but you don't find it out until halfway through.
Yeah. Yeah, there's like a couple episodes that are kind of like that. But well, yeah. Yes. Yep. Instead of watching Black Mirror today, you can watch the Women's National Championship.
I'm here for it.
UConn, South Carolina, which honestly,
that's
box the office. Matchup.
It's box office.
I mean, South Carolina is basically like the UConn of this generation.
Yeah.
And sure enough, UConn is back in it. Is back in the national championship. How many is Gina won now? Like seven?
Five or six?
I'm trying to think. But I mean,
more than five at this point.
But this is like the marquee matchup of college basketball as far as programs go. Dawn Staley, what she's done with South Carolina over the last decade, I feel like she's been there now, making that a perennial winner, national championship multiple times, and then again, UConn women's basketball. It's sort of like what I was saying with Duke and men's basketball last week. Like, they're, you know, when you think women's college basketball, you think UConn. Like, it is hand in hand. Paige Buckets, her last game in college, going up against the juggernaut of South Carolina. This one tips off at noon. But again, once this matchup was made and they won their Final Four matchups and it was going to be UConn, South Carolina, I was just like, you know what? Good. Like, back-to-back years, absolute banger matchups for the national championship women's game. I mean, last year we had the Iowa, South Carolina with Caitlin Clark in her last one. But now this year, again, Paige Buchers, which is probably the biggest star outside of Juju Watkins, in college basketball, and then South Carolina. Couldn't ask for a better matchup in the women's championship game.
You know, I'm a nostalgic dude, so I'm so proud of the job Dawn Staley has done, you know, in her the past, you know, decade now that she's been in South Carolina, maybe a little bit less than that. I remember Dawn Staley playing at Virginia. I remember her being on the USA team. I remember
her on the Charlotte Sting.
You know, I remember when she was on the episode of Martin. You know what I mean? Like, you know, they played like 3-on-3 with Martin and the boys, and they beat them. And like, she has a lot of cultural relevance. And I, you know, for a young
damn,
black
she's
woman,
been there since 2008, South Carolina.
Oh, has she really?
Yeah.
Jeez Louise! Man, where does the time go? I'm terrible, you know, as far as recognizing time, but. You know, I remember when she had like the little salt and pepper type hair, little push it type joint, and was out there balling. And so fast forward and to see her coach this team of young women to multiple national championships, multiple Final Fours every single year for the past few years. Like, we give a lot of credit to the players and deserved, right? The players for women's college basketball for the past like 5 years has been crazy.
I think we thought decade because literally since the last decade is when she's been on this run. I mean, okay. Final Four, Sweet 16, NCAA championship. Her first Final Four was in 2014, 2015. Okay. So that's probably why.
And since then, she's just been running the board, you know, with everybody. So watch this team. And then on the other side, man, Paige Buchers is one of the – she's so fun to watch. She's got moves. She, you know, she gets to the rack, you know, she – nothing that that young lady can't do. I'm super excited. Again, the women's bracket is, well, at least once you get to the Final Four, Elite Eight, it's more fun than the guys. It's just, you know, there's recognizable. I'm just saying, outside of Cooper Flag, I know Will can, and I know you can because you watch college basketball, but most people can't name more than five or six college stars right now.
Well,
most people can't. That's just the thing.
Sports propped up by the coaches more than the players nowadays.
Yeah, they know the names that we'll hear towards the end of the day. We know Ace Bailey. You know, we know these names because they're going to be in the top three of the draft, but nobody watched Rutgers play, you know? Well, so now you get a chance to see, you know, Audie Crooks, you know, and you got obviously Juju who went down. And then you got Paige, you know, that's playing great basketball. You got Flage over at LSU. Like, you've got stars that have been there for 3 years, 4 years. And again, you got recognizable names. So I'm interested and I'm captivated by them because I know these players. It's harder when I know my guy Cooper Flagg is going to be there for 9 months and he's out.
Yeah, I think the most interesting thing about this matchup, too, is like you guys said, you get the two Titans, but you also get to see someone who, at least for my generation, like I knew who Paige Beckers was in high school. Like the way everyone talked about her was the way that we talked about Caitlin Clark over the last two, mm-hmm. 3 years. It was like, it's Paige Beckers, and she doesn't have the typical UConn star story. Like when Breanna Stewart went there, it was like, she's going to be awesome. And then she was awesome. And UConn was awesome. And all the best players, the five best women's players in the country, they all played for them. Like, I remember when, like, Elena Deladon was a big deal because it's like, she's good, but she also doesn't play for UConn. Like,
just retired.
Like, yeah. How crazy is that? And now you're starting to see some of that talent get dispersed. And then you look at Paige Beckers. She has all this hype, and then she gets passed up. Not because she didn't live up to the hype, but because she got injured. She had an ACL tear. She missed a year, right? The only reason she's playing this year is because she got a medical red shirt. She got to come back. And UConn for so long had been that Death Star team. They're just going to beat everybody. And she gets there. She thinks she's going to be a part of this Death Star team. And then all the other talent starts getting spread out around the country. And now she's at UConn. And they were just talking about it on the show before we started here, where they're like, is she an all-time great UConn player? Well, probably not unless she wins a title. And I make the argument, she's had a harder road than any of the other UConn players because all the other UConn players got to play with the second, third, fourth, and fifth best players.
They were stacked teams.
They were all there. Yeah. All the best players were there. You didn't have to go through the competition that she did. And then to go through an ACL tear, I want it for her. I don't want it for Geno. I want it for her.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it'd be a great story for Paige Buckets to finish up her career there after, going through the injury and then having a tougher road than most UConn teams. Also, on the text line, this cracks me up because we said, how many did we say that Gino Auriemma won? Like six national championships? And then someone on the text line is like, Gino has at least 8 or 9. Don't shortchange him. He has 11. So jeez. Not only did we shortchange him, not only did the text line shortchange him, he has 11 national championships. Now, the last one came in 2016. So he has a bit.
It's been almost a decade.
I know. What a bum, right?
Right. Get him out of here.
He has 11 national championships.
And I think the more
impressive. He shortchanged him by half.
And I think the more impressive thing about, you know, really UConn and you know, Will kind of touched on it. Like, is Paige Buckets going to be one of the best UConn players, you know, ever? Who knows? But when you look at that list, it's Maya Moore, Breanna Stewart, Diana Taurasi, Sue Bird, Rebecca Lobo, Tina Charles, you know what I mean? Swin Cash. Like, it's a murderer's row of great, great women's basketball players that went on to the WNBA and really kind of helped develop that identity there. So Paige is right there with those ladies, though. She's in that conversation.
And it is this week, real quickly, it's Masters Week also. That's happening this Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Do you guys have, you know, because obviously everybody loves the Super Bowl. Everybody loves watching the NBA Finals or World Series. What's your favorite ancillary sporting event? Are you guys a big Kentucky Derby fans? Like, is there a certain event every year where it is maybe not on as much of a radar? And I would even say Masters falls into that category. It is the number one golf event. But again, I don't know if there's something that gets your goat as far as a one-off sporting event that is not a part of the big three or big four of sports. Kentucky Derby, as I get older, I'm starting to become more of a fan.
There's more social aspect to the Kentucky Derby. So
some mint juleps.
Yeah, probably that, but not really.
Yeah.
Not really.
You can stew on that. We got to take a break. We got hour number two coming up. Big day for the Blazers. What it means for the rest of their season and their future. Also have a couple other NBA notes I want to get into. Talk about some of the playoff teams. And one player in particular, boy, he could be the next one that could be traded and miss out on a Supermax contract because of not so much his play, but just because of what's between the ears. We will get to that hour number two here, Sports Sunday, 1080 The Fan.
Dude, 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 dude. I guess you've got a point there.
This is Sports Sunday.
Hey, Skidmark Steve.
Hey, dude.
You still just hanging out playing Nintendo?
Well, if you must know, I'm in my second year of med school, and I'm training for the summer games. What are you two up to?
Just hanging out, playing Nintendo.
A recap of the sports week, a preview of today's games, and next week's big stories.
Do you think Shaq got rich playing in Orlando? Hardly. He made his fortune moving to L.A. You know how much he makes now?
As much as he made playing in college?
What? No.
Now, here are Rashad Taylor and Joe Fisher.
What happened out there?
You know, it was a team effort, and I guess it took every player working together to lose this one.
Thanks, Doug. And so...
Hey, want to do an interview with me?
No.
With Sports Sunday on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
Bob, in all my years of calling games, I don't think I've ever been this excited.
You're excited? Feel these nipples.
Hour number two, Sports Sunday, right here on 1080 The Fan. I am Joe Fisher, the third. Rashad Taylor, as always. Will Ortner sitting in with us today. If you missed hour number one, you can get it wherever you get your podcasts, or you can rewatch hour number one on the YouTube stream as well. You can do that even while we're live, and then you can skip through the commercials and get caught up. We have on the TV the Islanders Capitals game. We're waiting for Ovechkin to get that final goal scored to set the all-time record for a goal scored in an NHL career. It is 2-0 Islanders. So still waiting to see if Ovechkin will do that. NHL season's coming to a wrap, as is the NBA season is also wrapping up. Today is it's a big day. It's a big day, Rashad, for the Portland Trailblazers. They have the chance for a couple things to happen. They have the chance to finally be eliminated from playoff contention, but they need to do something very important, and that is lose to the San Antonio Spurs today. And also, with them losing, that definitely helps their chances of maybe perhaps leapfrogging the Spurs, or should I say the Spurs leapfrogging them in the standings, so that way their draft lottery odds get a little bit better, which I know, God forbid, Rashad, why would you want that? Mm-hmm. Why not get a late season win against the Spurs and boost that morale a little bit more, huh?
Well, some of these dudes are playing for contracts still. Well, let's be real. Like, no, seriously, you got a bunch of dudes on these teams that are still trying to prove that they belong on a roster, that they should get some money to play on said roster.
I think they'll be fine.
I mean, I still think there's some guys that feel like they have something to prove. Denny Avia these past few weeks has been playing like his life depends on it. He's really, really been hooping, but like I said, it doesn't really matter at this point. You know, I'm kind of at the point, Joe, to where it's, well, not kind of at the point. I am at the point. Like, it's okay. Like, let's let it go. Let's get ready for next season. Like, how much of a slap in the face would it be, though, if tomorrow Cooper Flagg goes, yeah, I'm coming back for second season. Loss doesn't sit well with me. I'm coming back. I mean, seriously, he's making millions
of dollars. For it as long as the Blazers don't get the number one overall pick in the lottery. That would be the most Blazers thing ever.
Yeah.
Like to have the season you just had and you actually play better than you were expected. I mean, 34 wins compared to your projected 21-22. And you have the eighth best lottery odds. You get the number one overall pick. The lottery goes your way, and Cooper Flagg says, No, I'm going back to Duke.
Yeah, I think I need another year. I think we need another shot at this thing. Like,
that would be the most Blazers thing ever.
Yeah, but I mean, and considering everything for Cooper Flagg, like, it would shock me if he stayed in college. But if he were to like, man, I really like it here, and I want to do this one more time and try to win. Okay, I could see that happen. It won't, just because now these college guys can get paid, so there's that. But at this point, if you're the Blazers, just pack it in. You know, Pac-Man, well, the season is over.
They did their job the other night in losing to the Bulls. That was huge.
They tried to win, though.
They did, but they didn't, which is exactly what I want them to do. Try to win, but really don't lose.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. That's all I ask is I don't mind being competitive. I don't mind losses by 2-3 points. What I do mind is putting yourself in a worse position draft-wise to where you cannot get high-end talent at the top of the draft, which we've seen time and time again. That is where the stars are at.
Right.
And so with them losing to Chicago, they have now dropped to 34-44. They have the ninth worst record in the NBA. The Spurs have the eighth worst record in the NBA, and that is who the Blazers are playing tonight. The Spurs are 32-45, so they've played 77 games. Blazers have played 78. I don't know the whole tiebreaker stuff and if they finish with the same record, who gets the eighth spot. I don't know. I haven't looked into it yet. But they need to lose this game to the Spurs tonight. If the Blazers do lose tonight and the Kings win, then the Blazers are statistically eliminated from playoff contention because as the standings are right now, they are 3.5 games behind the Kings. And I think there might even be a chance even if the Blazers win and the Kings win tonight. So even if they both win, then they're still eliminated because the math is not mathing for them. But the Blazers need to lose specifically against the Spurs tonight. The rest of their schedule goes as following. They got the Spurs tonight, then they'll go to Utah on Wednesday, which very well could be a win for them. But then they'll finish against Golden State and Los Angeles Lakers, who are both fighting for playoff seeding and potential matchups of who they're going to play in the playoffs. So, I mean, Blazers have the potential. Again, if they lose tonight and then at least drop Golden State and Los Angeles, they have the potential to fall into that eighth spot, which drastically helps your odds for the top four. It's not a huge jump as far as getting the number one overall pick, but ending up in that top four, that's where you want to be, at least to get one of these coveted talents. Like, even outside of Cooper Flagg, BJ Edgecombe, Ace Bailey, Dylan Harper, one of those four.
Yeah, I mean, I do think the draft is where you're going to get better. However, I don't always believe it's at the top of the draft. Like, that would be great. But even if we look – seriously, like, if we start looking through, like, the last few drafts, like, the best players, some of the best players are coming at 14, 15, 16. You know, seriously, like, look at last year's draft. Like, I mean, obviously, you had – so I'm looking right now. The 2021 draft, the top of the draft was Paolo Banchero, of course. Chet.
Pretty good.
Yeah, no, seriously, Chet.
Pretty good.
And then right around 12, you get Jalen Williams, you know, who's an all-star. You know, he's an all-star, you know, really before – well, no, they're both all-stars. Before Chet, but Chet is an injury thing, you know, more than anything that keeps him out. But there's a steal at 12. You know, you got Devin Booker at one point.
I don't think
like
anybody's
14.
Debating that there isn't talent.
No, and
available.
That's all I'm saying is, like, it's not always – like, sometimes those guys at the top of the draft, they don't necessarily pan out.
But your chances of getting a high-end caliber top talent in the NBA are better when you're in the top five versus – 10 to 15. Yeah. I mean, that's just plain and simple.
Yeah, no, and that's fine. I'm not disagreeing with that. But what I'm saying is there are quality players. Guys that can
– I mean, Giannis was 15th.
You know what I mean? Like, guys that can go out there and really become superstars. Like, I think Kawhi was towards the end of the first round, 20-something. I can't remember where he was.
It can happen.
So it can happen, and that's all I'm kind of trying to say. Anthony Simons was, like, the 20-something overall pick for us, 25th, somewhere around there. Can't really remember what it was at this point, but – it can happen, and that's what I'm saying. So I don't want to always put all of our eggs into the we got to get the number one pick, we got to get a five pick. We just have to get the Spurs, for whatever reason, keep getting guys, you know, or keep getting people that they can build their, you know, their franchise around. It's like, man, we got to get some better scouting or something to go out and get these dudes in the first round. Like, who, these people that nobody's looking at, maybe they can be, you know, helpful for this Blazers organization. I don't know, but either way, the draft is definitely where you're going to get better. Like, we understand that at this point. Nobody's coming here for free agents. We'd be lucky if we got even, like, a marginal name in free agency, you know. But so you got to do it through the draft. You just got to hope you pick the right person.
Gosh, and I'm trying to find this whole, like, top four, like, what your odds turn into going from the ninth worst record to the eighth worst record, like, what the chances are of getting a top four pick. Because I know it jumps up drastically. I've heard the guys in the morning bring it up. But again, that's where I'm at, is just listen, the season was fun. You played.
It wasn't fun for you. It wasn't fun for you.
You played a lot better than people anticipated. Pack it in. All right. We're good. We're done here. The play-in is not going to happen. There's no need to win these meaningless games towards the end of the season.
33 wins now?
They are at 34 wins. Yes, 34 and 44.
Man, I just want one more win. I said 35 wins on the season.
Well, they can get that against Utah.
Get this dub.
I'll give you the Utah win on Wednesday. Give me the three losses against the Spurs, the Warriors, and the Lakers to end the year.
Well, I mean, the Lakers may not play anybody, so they might go hard and try to win that one, you know.
Well, they're trying to hold off the Nuggets in that 3-seed, 4-seed, and the Warriors. The Warriors and Nuggets, Lakers, Nuggets, Warriors are all kind of sandwiched all one game apart. Lakers right now have the 3-seed. They would be taking on the Timberwolves. The Nuggets and Warriors would be playing each other in the first round of the playoffs. So it's one of those. We get to this time of the year in the NBA schedule at the very end, whereas our team's going to play and or not play for matchups in the playoffs, right? Like,
I feel bad for whoever bought those tickets for the last game of the season against the Lakers.
And there's
the
Warriors, there's some teams, coaches, players that say, F it, you know, we don't care. We don't care about matchups. Yeah. Let's just play who we play. And
yeah,
then,
I want my guys rested before they go into the playoffs. Like, I can see, and Portland is just weak enough to where they'll be like, you know what, guys, take the day off.
I hope not. Can we go just full steam ahead, all rosters, all players, please?
Yeah. Well, I mean, at this point, I don't think they're not going to make the play-in. They're not going to do any of that stuff. Now it's just the luck of the draft, luck of the draw. See where the ping pong balls land for us, and that's really all we can do at this point.
Yeah, I'll try and find the that percentage again, like what their top four pick odds look like going from the 9th overall spot to the 8th overall spot in the lottery. Also, do we know when the lottery date is? I know it's usually in May. It was on Mother's Day last year because I remember they had to remind Donovan Klingon multiple times that his mom is no longer with us on Mother's Day. Very nice.
Tight.
ESPN.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah. Do you remember watching that broadcast, the NBA draft lottery odds?
No.
Or the draft lottery. Yeah, so Donovan Klingon was up there. I think Stephon Castle, because they're both UConn guys, and ESPN with their trauma porn that they love to do.
They love that. I hate it.
They bring up to Donovan Klingon multiple times to his face about, oh, your mom on Mother's Day looking down on you at the draft lottery. I mean, how does this make you feel? I mean, this moment being here, blah, 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 blah. And he's like, probably
talk about it.
In his mind is like, it sucks not having my mom around anymore because, you know, it'd be nice to have my mom. But yeah, no, this is great, you know, being here at the NBA draft lottery. And then immediately after they go to Stephon Castle and they're like, your family's right there. I mean, how awesome is this?
Yeah, and sitting right next to Klingon is like, his family's not here, but yeah. Yours, though. Like,
yours is, bro. Though. How bro, happy are
that's
you?
That's one thing I absolutely hate, like, especially whenever we get ready for the draft, like, they have this sob story for people. And, oh, man, his parents were gunned down right in front of him on his birthday when
his
he turned 13.
His dad was struck by lightning, changing a tire on the side of the highway.
Why is that? You know, that's just shows this kid's toughness. Like, that shows toughness?
Who's
like,
whose
what are
mom,
we talking about?
Whose mom was it in the NFL draft last year where I think the reporter was like, tell me, how far has this family come? She's like, we came from Baton Rouge.
Yeah, yeah, that's it.
Being as literal as possible.
What are you trying to hear? Where do you think we...
Well, our drive was 3.5 hours, so, you know, as far as how far we came, it was probably somewhere in the, you know, 200-300 mile range. Yeah, somewhere.
Great scenery on the way here, though.
All right, so the Blazers season, their play-in hopes could finally be dashed tonight with... honestly, I think it just, like I said, just takes a Kings victory tonight. The Kings are going to play... Who do the Kings play? They play the Cavs, which in Cleveland. And Cleveland is a 9.5-point favorite. So, quite frankly, the Blazers' playing hopes still could be alive after today. I did want to talk a little NBA playoffs, though, as far as the teams that will be going to the playoffs, and what teams we do and do not believe in. We get to that next year, Sports Sunday, 1080 The Fan.
And I'll let you all know. Just dance if you
can. All right, Ovechkin watch. Still has not scored the goal yet.
They're down now, right?
Yeah, it was 2-0. Yeah. You know, if you were listening to me and Will, you know, you would have known that. Or even just looked up at the TV, Rashad. Simple acts.
I mean, the TV's behind me. I have to turn.
Simple acts that show that you care.
The block. It's not good for blocking. Like, if you would have put it on that TV for me, thanks a lot. I'll take, you know, I have to turn this way and watch the game. So I'm just paying attention.
NBA playoffs will be starting. Yeah. When is that going to start? Will the regular season be wrapped up by next week?
It ends next Sunday, so it would start, I would assume, either Monday or Tuesday.
Correct. Correct. Tuesday is what it looks like as the first play-in games, which, you know, I don't want this segment to turn into the play-in segment, but I really don't like the play-in. I think it's stupid. I think it's a waste of time. I think it's not needed. This segment was going to talk about who do we believe is actually going to win the NBA championship? Who can we put our faith in? And I will tell you 8 teams that we do not have to put our faith in. That is the Orlando Magic, the Atlanta Hawks, the Chicago Bulls, the Miami Heat. That is the Sacramento Kings, the Dallas Mavericks, the Memphis Grizzlies, and the LA Clippers. Those 8 teams are all going to probably be in the play-in, or possibly the Minnesota Timberwolves, or possibly the Golden State Warriors. But I'll tell you the teams that are in the play-in tournament right now, at this moment in time, none of those teams are going to win the NBA championship. It's not going to happen.
Don't do that. Right now.
All right, how about this?
No.
Let's just look at the 9-10 seeds, okay? Because, you know, in years past, obviously the 8 seeds, they made it to the playoffs. The 9-10 seeds are the Chicago Bulls at 35-42 and the Miami Heat at 35-43.
No.
The Dallas Mavericks at 38-41, the Sacramento Kings at 37-40. Those 4 teams are definitely not going to make and win the NBA Finals. So therefore, let's not even give them a chance. But the almighty dollar always wins out, and so that's why we even have a play-in tournament to begin with. So,
yeah, I mean,
we don't need it. We really don't.
If any of those teams were to make some noise in the playoffs of those bottom 8 teams you just read off, maybe Dallas, maybe the Grizzlies.
No.
I think the Grizzlies would be probably the one team I would put in that conversation.
No.
Because no, hold on. A month and a half ago, the Grizzlies were a 2 seed. Right. And then the wheels kind of fell off. They fired their coach and everything over the last few weeks. Ja came out and said that he wasn't happy with his role. But make no mistake about it, if that team gets rolling, you have Desmond Bane, who is one of the underrated wing players, you know, in the league and a great defender. You've got obviously Ja Morant, who can do a lot of things for you. You've got a big man down there that's still young and he's still learning in Zach Edey. So there's a lot of things happening if you're Memphis, they're like, man, it can take you into the playoffs if you get hot at the right time, which they haven't been hot. But if they can go into the playoffs and knock off 2 or 3 games, then Memphis, nobody wants to play them. Like Desmond Bane not only can lock you down, but then he can come back and give you 23, 24 points on the other end. So that's a problem. You know, right now, coaching is probably the biggest thing for them as far as what that leadership looks like as they get
deep into
the
playoffs.
Seeing
as they just fired their coach.
So that's going to be the biggest issue for me. But of all those teams you named, I would say Memphis. And then I said Dallas because Anthony Davis is a matchup nightmare. If he's healthy on the floor, like we've seen him have huge numbers playing with the Mavericks. If he's healthy on the floor, then
and
they can make noise, not
Anthony
win.
Davis with Kyrie or okay. Well, yeah, Anthony Davis with Luka. That's right.
You're not wrong. Yeah. You're not wrong. But we've seen a lone Anthony Davis, who was nowhere near as good as he is now, beat up on a playoff team that he was, you know, that was ranked higher than him. We've seen it personally
as
a Trailblazer.
Why you got to do that?
I'm just saying.
That's twice today. You've had to throw the Blazers under the
bus. I'm just saying, and unfortunately, it just, hey, man, we know what these things feel like, and we know what it feels like to have Anthony Davis dominate us for 4 games.
Where was Anthony Davis drafted? Where was he in the draft?
He was first.
Number one overall?
He was special.
I think we should do that. I think the Blazers should probably get these kind of number one overall talents.
I mean, it'd be nice.
That'd be a good idea.
It'd be nice.
I know this is bold because you're relying on Kawhi Leonard to stay healthy.
Clips, man.
Always a bold proclamation.
Super bold. When the Clips have Kawhi, they've been really good this year.
He has been quietly
See what I did?
I didn't say the Clippers. I don't think they're a 7 seed. This year. Like they are, but they're not like a regular 7 seed.
When fully healthy, they are not a 7 seed.
Absolutely.
However, they're never fully healthy. But if they could get a run for 2 months where everyone, because Norman Powell's made of glass now, apparently. Kawhi's always been made of glass. You never know when James Harden's going to decide to get fat. So when those guys stay skinny and healthy, I wouldn't be shocked if they upset one of the teams. Depending on who it is.
I could see them like upsetting Houston first round.
100%.
Listen, they have a big three that very few people talk about because Norman Powell is one of their big three right now. He's having
He was an all-star, wasn't he?
No, he should have been. He was snubbed.
Oh, okay.
But he should have been an all-star this year. But James Harden is quietly having not a Harden-esque season, but he's averaging, 23 points and 8.5 assists. Like, he's doing things that we're used to seeing him do. He's averaging a steal and a half a game, which means he's trying to put some effort in on the defensive side. And he's averaging just as many steals as Kawhi, who is a defensive specialist. Like, that's what he does. And then you add in the fact that Norman Powell can get you a steal a game and also can get you 22 points a game and 3 or 4 assists. And you've got a team. And then Zubats, who is an underrated.
He's very good. Having a great year.
Very underrated. Very, we don't talk about him enough because we have some pretty good bigs right now in Giannis and Jokic and, and all those guys. But he's having a great season, for them. So I think those Clippers, I didn't mention them because, again, I don't feel like they're a 7th seed. And I think they're going to have no problem in the play-in and getting to their spot where they're supposed to be.
Well, as far as teams that I realistically see could win the NBA championship, out of the East, it's 2. It's either Cleveland or Boston. I'm not buying New York and not buying anybody else in the East. Pacers, Bucks, whatever, Pistons. In the West, a little bit more of a crapshoot. I mean, the Thunder, they should win it. I mean, let's be real. There's no reason the Thunder shouldn't be the Western Conference representative in the NBA Finals. You've played this well all season. You have, I've heard it however many times now, best point differential. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander just had, his 60th straight 20-point game, I believe it was.
He's awesome, and he's going to win MVP. So you have the MVP.
outside of the Thunder, though, I mean, like, there are 3 teams in here that have won championships within the last 5 years that are in the 3, 4, and 5 seed. That is the Los Angeles Lakers, the Denver Nuggets, and the Golden State Warriors. So you really can't count any of those teams out. I know the Warriors, it is a different Warriors team, but I think that them having Jimmy Butler, Steph Curry, and Draymond Green, like what was the stat where it's like with Jimmy and Steph Curry when they're playing together and Draymond Green, all 3 of them, they were 17-2 or something like that.
Yeah, something stupid.
I think since Jimmy joined the team, they're 20-5.
It was something ridiculous like that. And it's just like, all right, extrapolate that over 82 games. That is a number 1 or 2 seed in the West, basically.
Obviously, I think those, and I know we have to break, but obviously, the usual suspects are the ones, but I think it's important to not discard these younger teams, man. This Houston team is really good. Like, there's not a lot of people that can stay in front of Jalen Green when he's in front of you. Like, he's going to the rack. He can pull up from deep. Şengün is, I don't want to say he's quietly one of the best bigs in the league, because I think now he's made a lot of noise. People know who he is. Then you throw in an Amen Thompson, who's as a defender and like a wing player,
and
he's
off,
definitely the better of the twins.
Freak, and his offensive game is starting to come around.
It's starting to come. Like, this Houston, and then you got irritating ass dudes on your team like Dylan Brooks, who's willing to kind of mix it up with your.
Well,
I
don't know if you even brought up their number one option on offense, Jalen Green. I mean,
no,
like,
yeah, that's the first person. I was gonna say I missed that one. Yeah, Jalen Green, like he's a monster. That team, and they're so young, they don't know that they're not supposed to be here. And then throw in this, they have the best coach in the league right now. I will continue to say that Ime Udoka, Portland's own. Ime Udoka is the best coach in the NBA. You see what he did in Boston. He built a championship team there and coached them up. And now look what he's doing to these young cats in Houston. Watch out for this Rockets team, man. I think they could, if they knock somebody off, in the second round, like, people are going to have to start taking them seriously.
Well, I think that's what people are going to want to see, is that if they play if they play like the Grizzlies in the first round and they win that one, I think people would be like, okay.
Yeah, they're supposed to, right? Yeah.
But if they beat, like, the Clippers or even the Timberwolves in that first round, then people will give them a little bit more credit. And then it really depends on what happens in that second round.
That's a team I don't believe in, is the Timberwolves. I love Anthony Edwards. I also can't stand Anthony Edwards at a little for parts. But for the most part, man, I just don't believe in that team. I don't trust Gobert. I just don't think they have what you need to be able to win a championship, not especially now without Cat.
Yeah, when they made that move, the trade in the offseason, that part that kind of killed the vibes for me with the Timberwolves. I was like, well, you just literally went to the Western Conference Finals, and now you're like, hey, let's completely, like, gone from Cat to Julius Randle. Not a fan of it. Also, by the way, when Steph and Jimmy are in the lineup together, the Warriors are 20-2. So tight. Definitely can't count them out. They're 21-5 since Jimmy Butler debuted. 14-0 when Curry, Pajemski, Butler, Moody, Green start. 21-4 when Butler plays. Yeah, 20-2 when Steph and Jimmy are both out there. So let's take a break. Want to get to this real quick. One of the teams that are going to be in the playoffs, they have a star player where, my God, what is he doing? We get to that next year. But first, Will, SportsCenter update. So earlier this season, we saw a player that was due for a Supermax contract get traded. That was Luka Doncic when he got traded to the Los Angeles Lakers. And there have been whispers, talks around the sports media, NBA landscape about how this with this new Supermax contract, that teams, they really have to be careful and do their due diligence when making sure that this is their star player that they want to give their Supermax contract to. And the next player that this is gonna apply to is one Ja Morant of the Memphis Grizzlies. And boy, he could be playing himself out of that super contract. And actually, I retract that statement. It's not so much playing himself out of the contract. It is the in-between playing that is not helping him. Over the last week, I believe, two different instances, and, you know, this is just my personal opinion, and we've seen some different celebrations out there that are gun-related, but I think that when you have gotten in trouble and suspended for brandishing a weapon on your social media platforms, that I don't think any sort of gun-related celebration is probably conducive to helping your image and the league's image. But Ja Morant seemingly does not care about that whatsoever
at all,
because over the last week, he has, first it was against the Golden State Warriors, where him and Buddy Hield had basically a good old, Texas Wild Wild West standoff, pointing imaginary guns at each other from about 15, 20 feet away as, both the teams were going to their benches during a timeout. And Steph Curry's reaction in that cracked me up the most. It was very much just like, whoa, 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 what is he doing? Are you serious? And I think that was, I think Draymond Green even had the same reaction. I think it was,
you know,
more-
when Draymond has a reaction, like, you know, it's a problem. Once Draymond's like, man, you might be doing too much.
That was, I think, more so them. Because Buddy Hield did it too, so they don't really have a leg to stand on where it was just like, whoa, hey, he can't do that. It's like, well, your team was. I think it was very much more so their reaction, like, bro, is he really doing this right now? I don't think it was even more so like, we want the tech. It was in the astonishment that Ja Morant would be stupid enough to do something like this. But then a couple days after that, I believe when they were playing Houston, I'm trying to find the no, it was against Miami Heat, excuse me, another team with red, that he did it again. He's done it twice in a week. And his comments on Thursday that he's well aware of criticism he's faced for making the finger shooting motions, and he said it doesn't bother him. He said, I'm kind of used to it. I was pretty much a villain for 2 years now. Every little thing, if somebody can say something negative about me, it's going to be out there. So, yeah, I don't care no more. Dude.
Clearly, that's the problem. That's the problem, man.
I'm glad to see he learned.
Like, listen, I'm a big, big fan of Demetrius Jamel Moran. I think he is an amazing player. I think he's a he's probably arguably the most exciting player in the NBA. You know, he might get that moniker that Vince Carter used to have. But man, this dude is next level stupid. And it's just like it goes back to like, man, dudes with money like feel like they can do whatever, man. Ja Morant, so he had the incident at the high school of the volleyball game. He had the incident where somebody was shooting like the laser pointer or whatever at the Pacers bus. He got into it with this high school kid.
I heard he was 12. Point.
Yeah, that somebody like he was like 15, 16 year old kid.
I heard it, he was point. A 6 year old.
He got into it with a security guard at a mall in Memphis. He was suspended for having shown his gun on IG and then showing his gun again at a club in Denver. Like, this dude doesn't get it. Like you said, he don't care no more. So he wants to be traded. I don't think he wants to play in the NBA. I think there are certain guys like if David Stern were still alive, he'd have been out of the league at this point. He wasn't going for that. You get a couple things with Gunn. Gilbert Arenas' whole career changed based off of guns. Like, that's when the rest of the NBA was like, I'm not messing with you no more, bro. Like, you'll take a role. You know, then he got hurt and everything, and then it was really like, let's help push Gilbert out of the league. We don't really need this. Ja Morant is going – he's on that trajectory to be kind of ousted from the NBA because he's an idiot.
Do you think it takes one more IG moment for that to happen?
Oh, for sure. For sure. Once that happens, I think – and honestly – this is where Adam Silver has to kind of put his foot down. I think he did a great job with the whole Donald Sterling thing when that happened. It's like, we're not going for this. Put your foot down. Get him out. If Demetrius gets in trouble again for some gun-related stuff, I don't know if he'll be in the NBA anymore, bro. Like, the finger-pointing with the as a gun, okay, whatever. Like, that's a thing that kids do, shoot or shoot. That's kind of where it comes from. But other than that, like, I think it's a stupid thing in the first place. Because if we're at a park and a dude does that to my face, we got to fight. That's just kind of what it is. They make a three at you, and then they point guns at your face. And then, man, bro, we have to fight.
You know who had the best gun-related shooter celebration?
Carmelo?
No. It was Hassan Whiteside. Remember when he made a three and he was a Blazer and he did the whole like ducking?
Like, yeah, it was like, oh yeah, they're shooting. they're shooting. Yeah. Yeah. That was
the best one. Because it's not brandishing a weapon. It's not pulling gun. It's they're shooting. Great. They're shooting.
Yeah.
That was the best one. Yeah. I'll give him credit for that one.
It is, man. It was. Shout out to Hassan Whiteside. Man.
And I have to correct my mistake because Ja Morant, he did sign the new deal with the Grizzlies a couple years ago. So he is currently in a 5-year, $197 million contract.
What's to say he doesn't get suspended for a year?
This is year two of that contract. So he still has 1, 2, 3 more years left. But when the extension comes into play, when they'll consider that, whether they will consider that, he'll be an unrestricted free agent. He'll be 29 in 2028, 29. He'll be 29 years old. That's still, with those legs and those knees, we'll see how many years of top Ja Morant athleticism, like how he plays now. Again, once he's 29 and the way he plays, what kind of way is he going to play? Who's he going to look like at that point? But when you get to, you know, the final year of that contract, before the final year of that contract, so we get into 2027, essentially 2 years from now, if he's still with Memphis at that point, they're going to have to ask, is this someone we're going to want to extend and give the Supermax to again? Or are we going to cut bait, trade him? And God only knows what happens between now and 2 years as far as what he does off the court or on the court. If he continues to, I mean, he got fined, what, $75,000 from Adam Silver for doing this?
Mind like, you, he's John's been hasn't been the picture of health in the NBA. He's been hurt these last couple seasons. So I got to deal with the gun stuff, and now I have to deal with you not being available for us to play. And then you were kind of an issue with the coach. You and the coach had, hey, man, like a lot of general managers, a lot of owners would just cut bait. Then say, we're going to try again and try to get another superstar or trade for another superstar. But I don't know. Ja's still young, but it's time for him to grow up because we don't have these problems out of Zion, right? The whole issue with Zion, and he just likes burgers too much. Like that's, but he can still do all those amazing things when he's on the floor. He just really loves to eat, you know? So if that's your biggest issue, that's cool. But Jod's literally playing with fire.
Yeah.
So he's got to chill.
Yeah. So, I mean, we'll see what happens, man. I mean, it's the fact that he's done it twice in a week, like, and basically he doesn't see the problem with it. That's the biggest problem there, is that he doesn't, nobody is in his ear, coaches, teammates, his circle is telling him, like, hey, you know, you probably shouldn't be doing this. To him, it is victim complex of, yeah, I know what people have to say, but, you know, all, people always have to find a reason to hate and, you know, criticize. And so I just don't care anymore. It's like, dude, that's not it. Like, what are we talking about?
To quote what Russell Westbrook to Jeff Key, that's the problem. You don't care. And you need to care more. So, yeah.
All right. Let's wrap things up here on Sports Sunday next. 1080 The Fan. Literally right as I say on 1080 The Fan and go to break, Alexander Ovechkin with an absolute screamer of a shot gets 895 and now is the all-time goal-scoring record holder in the NHL. It has happened.
Wow, man.
Again, that was a great goal, too. I mean, he just...
He just keeps hugging everybody. You notice that? Like, I think he has to go by and hug every single person in the arena. That's all he's doing. He's just hugging everyone.
Section 334, you're next.
You're next. Coming over there.
Like, that's all he's doing.
What an awesome moment. Like, seriously, you mentioned it. If you paid $1,000 for those ticks, I want a hug from Alex Ovechkin.
It's like, worth it.
At bare minimum.
Doing it in New York, too, is pretty cool. I mean, if you can't do it in Washington, do it in the Big Apple, right? You know, one of the biggest states. Do the Islanders play at MSG? Question mark?
No, they play on the island. Actually, they might be in Barclays Center now. They were on the island. They were on Long Island, and they
do the Rangers play in MSG?
Rangers play in MSG. Yeah? Okay. Yeah.
I was going to say, that makes a bit more
sense.
Been
to a Rangers game in MSG.
If you're Wayne Gretzky right now, do you feel cool watching somebody break your record, or is it like, oh, crap.
He's been really like.
I think he'll be fine.
He's been really proud of it. Like for him,
Islanders play at UBS Arena.
Yeah,
what's that?
Where the Islanders play?
I think it's on the island.
Like Coney Island,
Long Island. They're the Islanders because they play on Long Island.
Tight.
I'm not gonna lie. I was much
Elmont.
I was too old to realize it's near Queens. Where it was at. Yeah, he. It's. Gretzky seems to be kind of handling this one like he's really excited about it. And I think it's easy to do that when you have all the other records. You're like, all right, I guess you can have one.
Yeah. I ask because I remember when LeBron broke Kareem's scoring record. Kareem just happened to be there. And kind of look on Kareem's face was like, I guess that's over, huh? Moving on, right?
I will say that there's something about the legend of Wayne Gretzky that is very much like, you're breaking a Gretzky record.
Yeah.
Like, there's something to that. Like, if this was Brett Howe's record or any other great hockey player over years and years, Jason Sakanek would be able to drop a few more names than I would. And who is it? Gordie Howe, also? That's who I was thinking of.
That's who Gretzky beat.
Yeah, I say Brett. Yeah, Gordie Howe is one of the all-time greats. Yeah, the fact that it's Ovechkin beating a Wayne Gretzky record, because he's a great one. When you hear that it's a Gretzky record, you kind of just assume that it's unbreakable, right?
Mm-hmm.
So for him to do this, and with all that lush head of gray hair.
I mean, this is, again, we've seen the changing of the guard, you know, and we've seen guys that we watch grow up. You mentioned it. We're old now, man. Like, Alex Ovechkin. I remember the SportsCenter commercial with Alex Ovechkin, and he kind of...
What are you, a Russian spy?
Yeah, I'm not a spy. Like, yeah, no. And then he kind of gets lifted out of there. Like, that was a funny commercial. And so now to look forward, and here he is with this head of gray hair and this gray beard. It's like, man, like, we're OGs now, man. Like,
well, in the commercial break, Rashad said, he's like, man, we got to talk about Melo, because Carmelo Anthony got named to the Naismith Hall of Fame.
Him and Dwight.
And Dwight Howard as well.
So deserved.
And so with those two being, I mean, the Ovechkin seeing how old he looks, but I know yesterday or whenever I saw the headline that Carmelo and Dwight Howard got named to the Hall of Fame, I was like, okay, I'm old. It is official. I am old. When those two, like those two guys, staples of my teen years of watching basketball in early 20s, are now being named as Hall of Famers, that's where I'm like, okay.
I saw Carmelo Anthony
we
play.
Are into old territory now.
I saw him play in high school right here at the Memorial Coliseum for the Les Schwab Invitational when I was a
senior. An iconic venue for someone like Carmelo.
Absolutely, man. And then to watch him mature into what he became, you know, playing against two of my really good friends in the national championship, you know, when he was a freshman at Syracuse, going on to really being arguably the most unstoppable scorer in the history of the league that's not named Kevin Durant. Like, the things that he can do, jab, 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 bully ball, like, get to the rim, dunk over you, like, Melo's really that guy. And then Dwight Howard, the most disrespected big, arguably, of all time. Like, I mean, three Defensive Player of the Years, finished in the top five of MVP voting a couple of years, carried that Magic team all the way to the finals.
When you look at his resume, like, it's legit. Removed from the person, it's one of those where if you were to present that to a lot of people, they'd be like, oh, yeah, Hall of Famer.
It's not, not even a question. Yeah. It's not even a question. So the fact that he wasn't on the All-75 team, which is insane, was crazy. So this is definitely vindication for somebody like Dwight Howard. He absolutely deserves a spot in the Hall of Fame, as well as Carmelo Anthony. Like you said, we're old now, man, because the high school kid that came straight from the league or straight to the league is now going to the Hall of Fame. You know what I mean? And now Melo's son is on his way to Syracuse to play basketball next year. Like, that's how much time has passed.
Yeah, and I know that we've seen, like, the players' sons come up, but now that we're getting this...
Like, we know those players. We saw those players. Like, we were watching those players actively, and now we're watching their kids come in and play. Like, it's pretty crazy.
Well, it's getting to the point where I have conversations with my son where I'm like, what you know about Carmelo Anthony? You know nothing about Carmelo. What you know about prime Dwight Howard, huh? You know, you kids don't even know.
Let's play 2K. I'll show you what they do.
What you know about mixtape Wayne?
Yeah.
You know nothing about that.
Oh, my gosh. Can't feel my face, Wayne? Like, get out of here. Like, you missed it. Like, I was at the Loy
no
Center.
No ceilings,
with,
Wayne?
I was at the Loy Center with a student of mine the other day. And if you haven't been to Loy Center, it's just all ratty and kind of gone now.
They do have an ice rink,
among other things. Yeah. But we're walking around. And I was like, man, you never believe it, but this was the best mall in Portland. Like, this was...
What you know about Lloyd Center, son? Nothing.
And I'm kind of telling him these things.
Nothing.
Like, really? Really? That's what it's like now as we describe the greatness. Like, LeBron has two kids. One of them is in the league. The other one's on his way to college. Like, that's how much older we're getting. Like, you know, I think his daughter is going to eighth grade or something like that. Like, we're getting old, bro.
And now to remind myself about how old I am, I'm going to go to my nephew's birthday party. It's at one of those, like, trampoline places.
Are you
going to
do the trampoline?
Not the trampoline, but I think they have one of those, like, basketball courts.
Dunk on some kids?
Oh, yeah. So, one, I'm going to remind them how much younger they are than me. And dominate them all day long. But also, I'm sure there will be a, pulled hamstring, twisted ankle.
Oh, you're going to be sore.
Yeah, something will happen that will remind me.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations to Alexander Ovechkin. I know you'll be listening later, so I wanted to make sure I gave you that shout-out.
Props.
Rashad, thank you, as always.
My man.
Will, thank you, as always. Thank you for coming in today. I'll see you on Tuesday, buddy.
My guy.
And thank you all for listening to Sports Sunday on 10 of the Fan. We will catch you next week at 9 a.m. Peace.